May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
As many of you know, I was raised in the Congregational Church. And in the Congregational Church, we don't do much with saints. The Congregational Church traces its roots back to the Puritans and to the Reformers who sought to bring the light of God into a church that they saw as having been cluttered with all four kinds of superstitious beliefs that obscured what God was trying to say to God's people. In the process, they did a lot of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And one of the things that they tossed out was the whole notion of commemorating the saints. Because in the medieval church, the commemoration of saints had often gotten encrusted with all kinds of superstitious beliefs, like if you just touched the toe bone of St. Paul, you'd be cured of something, and all sorts of beliefs that the Reformers thought obscured the fact that God's grace is available to anyone, whether you can make a pilgrimage to touch the toe bone of St. Paul or not. But in the process, we also stopped telling the stories of these wonderful, remarkable people. And so when I became an Episcopalian, a long journey, I can assure you, one of the things I discovered was the tradition of commemorating the saints. And it turned out, not just a bunch of people who were martyred a long time ago, which is kind of what I thought saints were, but all kinds of people from all kinds of situations and moments in time and callings who had demonstrated and lived into what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because the saints are not mystical people who are somehow better than the rest of us, who God has made purer and holier than ordinary people. They are people just like you and me, whose faith was deep enough and strong enough to lead them into actions and places and witnesses that are an example for all of us as we strive to live into our own calling. On Thursday night, Bishop Gale told us that we are living in a period of change, which I suspect didn't come as news to any of us. And she charged us with being the church in the world, with, in the middle of this time of change, of bringing God's love into a world that needs it desperately. You've heard me say the same thing, I know. And maybe you've sat there and wondered, what on earth would that look like? Maybe you have some ideas. Maybe it feels as overwhelming to you to be told to go out and be Jesus' hands and feet in the world, as it sometimes does to me. And one of the things that I love about the fact that we take time to commemorate the saints in the Episcopal Church is that when it feels like I don't know how to do that, I get a whole bunch of stories of people who did just that. This book is called Holy Women, Holy Men. It's a big, thick book, you'll notice. And it tells the story of some of the people, the saints, that we commemorate in the Episcopal Church. And I thought I would take a few minutes this morning to share with you the stories of a couple of people that maybe you didn't know were saints and were people that we hold up as examples of faith. The first person I want to tell you about is Florence Leighton Oy. Has anyone ever heard of her? Leighton Oy was born in China. She took the name Florence when she was baptized as a Christian as a young woman, named after Florence Nightingale, another one of the people in this book. She gave herself entirely over to the service of Christ. She attended seminary, even though it was the 1930s, when women church to be ordained to the priesthood. And she would serve as a priest through the rest of World War II. After which, the Anglican Communion had a hissy fit. Because they hadn't decided women could be priests. And so she voluntarily chose not to exercise her office until the Communion could debate and talk about it and decide whether this was something that they could embrace. In 1979, she resumed her public ministry, and 2 years later, she was allowed to visit family members living in Canada. While there, she was licensed as a priest in the Diocese of Montreal and the Diocese of Toronto, where she served until her death in 1992. Sometimes circumstances make us agents of change. And then there's James Theodore Holly, the first bishop of Haiti, who was born in 1829 in Washington, D.C., a free African American. His mother was Roman Catholic, and he was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. But he decided to leave that church and became an Episcopalian because the local Roman Catholic Church he was raised in would not ordain him as an African American. He was ordained in the Episcopal Church in 1856. And in 1861, he led a group of settlers to Haiti in the hopes that the settlers, a group of African Americans, could help Haiti, the very first black republic in the world, to stable itself and build a new society, one that would live into the promise that James Holly believed black people had in governing themselves. You'll note the date 1861. The U.S. was in the middle of the Civil War. It was a good question. Could a black republic govern itself? The question of slavery meant there were lots of people who thought that it couldn't. In the first year, half of his group of settlers died of disease and hunger. But he stayed on with his 2 young sons, and he built what is now Trinity Cathedral. He built Trinity School, the school that we continue to support, that continues to educate Haitian children to this day. And he became, in 1878, the first black bishop at Lambeth, having been consecrated in 1874 as the first black bishop in the Episcopal Church and only the second black bishop in any major denomination. Bishop James Theodore Holly is buried at St. Vincent's School for Handicapped Children in Port-au-Prince, where I visited last year. And he continues to be a reminder of a fight for justice and a fight for self-determination to the people of Haiti. Last year, he almost made it to the last bracket in Lent Madness. And if you don't know about Lent Madness, come and see me after church. Finally, I want to tell you about Frances Perkins. Do any of you know Frances Perkins? There we go. Frances Perkins was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Secretary of Labor and an Episcopalian. That's the part Wikipedia doesn't mention. Frances Perkins often attributed her commitment to the needs of the working poor to her Episcopal faith. She was deeply committed to that faith. And it was her work on behalf of the working poor of New York that brought her to the attention of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a guy who you may remember got elected president in the middle of the Great Depression. And he had many, many people. And she served longer than any Secretary of Labor before or since, 12 years. And what sustained her in that work was her monthly retreats at a local convent, the All Saints Sisters of the Poor in Maryland. Frances Perkins, because of her faith, became an agent of change in the world. There are lots more. Many, many people. We have this big, huge book with over 700 pages of stories of people who have, through their faith, made an impact on the church and on the world. We are so blessed to have this. But they're not the only saints we celebrate today. Because all of us have known saints, haven't we? We have all known people whose faith and whose has sent them out into the world to live differently, to make the world different, to bring God's love to the world. It may have been a member of our family or somebody in our church. It may have been somebody who came and took us to church when we were very, very small. Or somebody who told us about Jesus and about Jesus' love for all people when we were quite old. It might be someone who has stoked your passion for social justice, for changing the world. And we are blessed to have all of them. Because it can be mighty intimidating to be told that this is a time of change and we have to be agents of change. But there have been so many who have gone before us and shown us how faith can sustain us as we live into that. Who have shown us how to live into Bishop Gale's charge to us. They're in our own lives, and they're in our calendar of saints. And we give thanks to God for them today. Amen.